Earplay is produced by National Public Radio and WHA under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. Earplay presents Private Wars by James McClure. McClure is a playwright and actor whose plays Lone Star and Private Wars were produced at the Actors Theater of Louisville's New American Play Festival of 1979 and moved to Broadway as a double bill later that year. As an actor, McClure has taught and performed at the Pacific Conservatory for the Performing Arts and the University of Rochester Summer Theater. He has worked at regional theaters, including the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, as well as in New York with the Lion Theater Company and the Public Theater. McClure's Lone Star and the companion piece Laundry and Bourbon were heard earlier this season, and now Earplay presents Private Wars by James McClure.
Be a VA hospital. Sylvia, they said, calm down. How can I calm down? Hey, what the hell are you doing out here on the porch?
Fixing a radio.
What the hell for?
It's for Henson.
What's Henson need a radio for? I need a radio more than Henson.
Why?
Henson doesn't have any arms or legs.
Yeah, but you move around too much. This has to be plugged in.
Forget an extension cord. One thing I noticed about you. You concentrate and you do things slowly. How do you account for this?
Hard drugs.
I see.
It's for my nerves.
Do the drugs help?
Oh, yeah. I hardly have any nerves left at all. Can you hand me that piece of wire? I want to do a good job on this. Figure if I do a good job on this radio, they may let me out of here.
You can get out of here anytime you want.
I know that.
Oh, but you figure if you finish the radio, they'll let you.
Sure, it's all part of the free enterprise system.
I see. Okay, I gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some orderly over in C Ward been screwing those guys around. Can you believe that? So I gotta go.
Okay.
So, you here a lot? I mean, you hang out here?
Yeah.
You gave me, right?
Yeah.
Tell you what. I'll see you later.
Lippity you da, lippity hey. My, oh my, what a wonderful thing.
I don't want to talk about it.
What?
I don't want to talk about it.
What don't you want to talk about?
Look, I said I didn't want to talk about it, okay?
Okay.
Do you mind? I'm trying to read.
Well, Natwick, if you won't tell me what not to talk about, how do you know I might not accidentally start talking about it?
The odds are 10 trillion to 1 against it.
Oh.
But I don't even want to take that chance.
I bet I could guess what it is.
Don't even waste your time.
Is it something that just happened to you?
What?
Did someone do something to you?
I don't want
to. Was it staff?
1 down, 2 to go.
Was it someone in the ward?
2 down, 1 to go.
Was it Gleason?
3 down.
Was it Silvio?
What?
Was it Silvio?
Gately, would you look at that? Would you look at that, nurse? Hey, beautiful! Hey, gorgeous! Come on, turn around! Take a look at this! You like that, huh? I don't know. I like the floppy kind of underwear. Gives you more of a sense of freedom, you know? You can flop around. One has mobility.
That's very good. You could go on TV, advertise floppy underwear.
Yeah, if I wanted to, I could. I ain't got the time, though. But I could if I wanted to, you know. Only one drawback to floppy underwear.
What's that?
They make you feel like an old man. That's the trouble with life, Gately. You may find something you like, but if it makes you feel like an old man, what's the point? You get my point? You know another thing makes you feel like an old man?
An old woman?
Garters.
You're right.
You're damn right I'm right. I had to wear garters to my brother's wedding.
Did it make you feel like an old man?
You're damn right. Besides, the garters didn't work.
Maybe you were wearing the wrong kind of socks.
Maybe you're right.
What kind did you wear?
Athletic socks.
You wore athletic socks to your brother's wedding?
You see, Gately, I'm Catholic.
Did the Pope make you do it?
Don't get cute with me, Gately. It was his second marriage, okay? First time around, I wear black socks. Second time, I figured, hey, screw it. You see, Gately, I respect the state of holy matrimony. And I respect the Holy Catholic Church.
So do I.
I know you do. Now, I'd just like to return for a minute, if I may, to the subject of underwear.
All right.
Now then, floppy versus tight. Me? I don't see any comparison, because, I mean, in terms of underwear, I mean, what is a man looking for?
Fashion?
Certainly fashion. Take a look at these. Now, is this smart or what?
They're pretty smart.
My sister sent me these.
Your sister's got good taste in men's underwear.
Of course.
Kind of makes you wonder, though.
What?
How your sister got such good taste in men's underwear.
Hey, watch it. Watch it. Okay, so the way I see it, a guy needs fashion, and a guy needs mobility. And outside of that, I mean, there's nothing else a guy needs.
Snugness.
What?
Snugness.
Huh? Oh, I think I hear the voice of a tight underwear man.
Well, guy doesn't always want floppy underwear.
Oh, wait a minute.
Underwear like socks.
Stop. I don't know if I can let that go by.
You don't want your socks slipping down. A man wants snug socks.
Socks are like underwear. What kind are you wearing?
Black ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they tight?
They're pretty tight.
They're not black silk, are they?
Black polyester, I think. But all mine got holes in them.
Well, of course they got holes. It's a modern convenience.
I've got holes on the balls.
Holes in the balls?
Got to get some new ones.
I guess so.
But I've got a problem.
What's that?
I got different sizes. My left is bigger than my right.
Come on, how much difference can there be?
About an inch. One's about 9 inches long.
What?
And the other's about 10 inches.
9 and 10 inches?
Yeah, I was born that way.
Jesus. What about, you know, Mr. In-Between?
What?
Never mind.
I find, though, if I buy, 9 to, say, 11, that fits everything.
You're not talking about around, are you?
Hell no, I'm talking about length. Well, what's the matter, Silvio?
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Hello, Natwick.
I don't want to talk about it.
Huh. What's the matter with little Mary Sunshine?
He doesn't want to talk about it.
Very intelligent of him.
Pretty soon I'll be talking to myself around here. Say, Natwick, what size feet do you have?
About a 9, 10.
Can I borrow some socks? Mine are wearing out the balls of my feet.
Do you still have athlete's foot?
What? You were talking about the balls of your feet?
Of course.
Oh, you were talking about socks.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear that, Natwick? He was talking about socks.
Yes, I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, wow. Oh, great. Oh, God, that's just great. Jesus, what a relief.
What did you say about socks?
I don't know.
Why are you still fixing that radio?
for Henson.
Henson's dead.
What?
Henson's dead.
How can he be dead? I saw him just yesterday. He was perfectly all right. Didn't have any arms or legs, but he was all right.
He died last night.
One day he's alive and the next he's dead.
And that's life.
But this is a hospital.
That's the way it is in a hospital. Either you get better or you die, or you rot. And even if you get better, it's only temporary. Look at it this way. At least you don't have to waste your time on that stupid radio. You know, Gately, in many ways, we're alike.
We're nothing alike.
Of course we are. We're both intelligent and sensitive.
Am I?
Well, you're sensitive.
Am I?
You'd have to be either sensitive or just plain stupid to fix a radio for Henson.
Why?
Everyone knew Henson was going to die. Gately, what are you doing?
I'm fixing the radio.
Gately, Henson's dead.
I know that.
Gately, don't be a fool.
Someone else can use it.
You're deluding yourself.
No, I'm not. If I fix this radio, they'll let me out of here.
You can get out anytime you want to.
You seen that, Wick? Every cloud has a silver lining.
Yes, but that's just what it is.
What?
A lining. You take out that lining, you know what you've got?
What?
A cloud. A very dark, dangerous cloud.
Hey, what do you say, Gately?
Hello, Silvio.
Natwick! Go screw yourself.
Okay, I'm leaving.
One thing about Natwick. You tell him to go do something, and by God, he goes and does it. I've been thinking about buying a kilt.
A kilt?
Yeah, it's a kind of a dress that guys in Scotland wear. It's kind of like a cheerleader skirt.
Well, if you want a cheerleader skirt, why don't you just buy a cheerleader skirt?
I don't want no cheerleader skirt.
Oh.
What would I do with a cheerleader skirt?
I have no idea.
Oh, wait a minute. You think that I want to wear a girl's skirt? You think that? Is that what you think?
Look, I don't care.
Look, I don't care that you don't care. Who cares?
Not me.
Look, I don't want to wear a dress, okay?
Okay.
I want to wear a kilt. Look, I read somewhere that Scots have a very high potency rate. So I said to myself, what have they got that we haven't got?
Kilts?
Right. Gately, did you know tight pants weaken the sperm count?
They proved that?
They practically proved it. Gately, picture, if you will, an Oregon stream in the spring of the year with the icy waters, you know, teeming with salmon. Indians poised, ready to spear them as they spawn, returning from the sea to, you know, a very old place. Now, those salmon returning to spawn are called grilse. The grilse overcome incredible obstacles in order to spawn. They gotta fight their way past the dams, rocks, Indians.
Are we still talking about the sperm count?
Gately, I want you to think of your sperm as salmon.
Okay.
Think of your sperm as grilse.
Grilse?
The sperm is fighting its way up, thrashing on to the spawning grounds. But the weak sperm can't make it.
They give out?
They poop out.
Poor little guys.
In the end, all the salmon die. They spawn and they die. And except for the one sperm that fertilizes the egg, this is also the fate of the sperm.
Have you ever read Hiawatha?
No.
It's full of rocks and rivers and Indians. Do you think the sperm knows it's going to die?
At present, Gately, science doesn't know how much the sperm knows. But we can say this about the sperm. The sperm has a hell of a sense of direction.
Checkmate.
Natwick, why do you act so superior?
I don't act superior. I am superior.
You're not necessarily superior. I'll tell you something. Silvio's been working on this theory. If you wear kilts, Your sperm will be more like a grilse's.
What?
Grilse. Grilse are the salmon that fight their way upstream.
No.
What?
Grilse's are the salmon that fight their way downstream. Grilse's are the young salmon, not the mature salmon.
Well, what do you call the mature salmon?
Salmon.
Well, what about kilts? Silvio says we should wear kilts to make us more potent.
Silvio wants to dress like a pervert.
Why?
Because he is a pervert. And if we ran around in kilts, we'd be just as perverted as he is.
Well, what about the Scots? They run around in kilts. What about them?
They're perverted.
Have you ever read Hiawatha?
I got these strange thoughts. They're not violent. Well, some of them are violent. The other day I was talking to this old woman. And she was, you know, talking, and I just wanted to do some outrageous thing to her. Like, slap her face, or pull her false teeth out, or play with a flab in her face. I mean, I wouldn't, but, you know, it's just something I think about. When I was little, I used to think I could talk to God. In fact, I thought I could talk to God better than anybody in the world. And I couldn't understand why world leaders didn't come to me to pray to God, you know, to solve the world's problems. I'd sit in church with my family and my mother. Oh. My mother is a very beautiful woman. She looks like, Italian women on jars of spaghetti sauce. She's got big old bosoms, you know, I really like them. And I don't care what that sounds like, because it's one of my favorite parts of my mother. And I remember when my father died, she showed great dignity. She took my hand and she said, "You go take care of your sister now." And I said, "But who's going to take care of you?" And she said, "I can take care of myself. You take care of your sister." And I said, "Ma, I want to take care of you." And she said, "You get in there. And you take care of your sister before I knock you into the middle of next week, huh?" And I did.
Another book on Hemingway.
Huh?
And yet, did he have the right to take his own life?
Huh?
Don't forget, he was no longer the man he once was.
Who is, for Christ's sake?
I'll tell you, Gately, if I had any courage at all, I'd go straight to my room, take out a razor, and slash my wrists. Oh, God, I wish I could.
Well, what's preventing you?
I use an electric.
I'll lend you one of mine.
What kind of a thing is that to say to a person?
Well, if you really wanted to.
But I don't really want to.
You don't?
No, suicide is a plea for help.
Well, I'm trying to help. I'll lend you the razor blade.
It's just great. A man reaches out to his fellow man. A hand reaches out into the darkness for a little comfort, a little compassion. I reach out, and you hand me a razor blade.
Okay, I won't lend you a razor blade.
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
Yeah.
You'll get it back.
How? You'll be dead. You'll be stretched on the floor.
Actually, a bathtub.
Bathtub?
Gately, for instance, suppose I can't cope with the world when they let me out of here.
You can get out of here anytime you want.
I know that. I see my suicide as a beautiful thing. There I am, in my mother's house, my wrists slashed, my blood filling the bathtub.
But why a bathtub?
I don't want to make a mess.
Why?
My mother would kill me.
You'll be dead. She can't do anything to you then.
You don't know my mother. You know, you don't know what it's like growing up rich.
You know, you're right.
When you're rich, there's only one way to go, down.
Same thing when you're poor, only it's a different direction.
All my life, I've known I was going to fail. My mother had a brilliant career planned for me. Anything less than Secretary of State would have been considered a failure. I remember my childhood as a succession of summer homes moving farther and farther out on Long Island. My sense of failure grew in proportion to the size of the houses, each one larger than the last. When we got the place at Montauk, I joined the Army. Everyone was surprised that the Army took me, including me.
Isn't it funny how some days we can shoot the breeze like this, and other days we can't talk at all?
There are good days, and there are bad days. On good days, I can talk. On bad days, well, one dares not eat a peach, as they say.
Eat a peach? Why wouldn't a person dare to eat a peach?
You know, it's something someone once said.
Who said it?
T.S. Eliot.
T.S. Eliot was afraid to eat a peach?
Gately.
Was he allergic to him?
Prufrock didn't dare to eat a peach.
Was Prufrock allergic to him?
Prufrock is not a person. He's a poem.
I know that. Why wouldn't he dare to eat a peach?
Because he was afraid.
Was there something wrong with the peach? Had it gone bad?
There was nothing wrong with the peach.
Well, what was he afraid of then?
Life.
Life?
Yes.
He was so afraid of life that he couldn't eat a peach? That's disgraceful.
It was the small things of life that defeated him, the momentary terrors.
Like what?
Old age. Old women. Tea parties.
Tea parties? Old women? Hell, that's just minor league stuff. I hope this Prufrock never runs into any of the major problems of life. Then he really wouldn't be able to eat the peach.
Why are you getting so upset?
Where'd he eat this peach?
On the beach.
Oh, well, that's just dandy. A guy's so sensitive he can't eat a damn peach on a damn beach.
It's just a metaphor, Gately, okay?
I just hope this guy doesn't get drafted. That's all I hope.
The guy can't be drafted. The guy's in a poem, Gately. You know what poems are.
I read poems.
When?
All the time. I read them till I'm sick of them.
What poems? Give me one.
Hiawatha. It's a great poem. Look it up.
Well, it's like that.
What is?
You can't draft Hiawatha.
Even if you did, what makes you think he'd serve? Hiawatha was one of the greatest Indians of all time. What makes you think he'd fight for this stinking army? He'd go to Canada first.
Are you saying that Hiawatha was a draft dodger?
Not if it was an Indian war. If it was an Indian war, hell, he'd put on his war paint, get in his canoe, and go whoop ass.
But only his own wars.
That's right. And if everybody would fight their own private wars, things would be all right. But no, people have to keep sticking their noses into other people's wars. You see what I mean, Natwick? You see what I'm trying to say?
No. What are you trying to say?
The thing about the world is... The thing about the world is... The world is... You see what I'm trying to say?
And that's why I don't want to talk about it!
You just can't stand to lose an argument, can you?
Oh, my God, I can't stand it!
Gately. Hey, Gately. Do you ever ask yourself the secret of my incredible sexual power over women?
Nope.
Why the nurses can't resist me?
The nurses hate you, Silvio.
Ah, that's what they would have you believe.
Well, they got me believing it.
You want to hear a great line for picking up girls?
Sure.
Okay. Look, we set the scene. This is what they call setting the scene. Now, you're sitting there at the table. What can that table be?
A table?
Okay, we'll make it a table. We're in a nightclub.
Can it be a singles joint?
Gately, you ever been to a singles joint?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you what. In setting the scene, we'll make this a singles joint.
Where'd you learn all this?
I'd say hung around a USO group rehearsing a Bob Hope thing, you know. I'll tell you something, Gately.
Yeah?
Never be afraid to mingle in the arts.
All right.
Okay. So we're in a singles joint. And you're abroad. Everybody's being hustled. It's a meat market.
What's a nice girl like me doing in a place like this?
Oh, that's it, that's it. That's what they call getting into character.
Am I lonely?
Are you lonely? A face like that? What do you think?
I'm lonely, huh?
So, I come in, all right? I'm very, very depressed. And I see you. I come over to you and I say, pardon me, missus, this seat taken.
Yes, it is.
What?
Buzz off.
No, Homer, you don't say nothing here.
You want me to call the management?
It's not the way it goes.
You male chauvinist.
Jake Lee.
What?
Don't give me such a hard time.
I just wanted to make it realistic.
Okay. But you're making it too realistic. So I come in. And I say, pardon me, miss, is this seat taken?
Well, why not?
Mind if I sit down?
Well, why not?
May I order you a drink?
Well, sure.
Bartender? Two more of the same. Do you mind if I smoke?
Well, why not?
Now, then I take two cigarettes. And I light them. And then I hand one to you.
I don't...
It's a very French thing to do.
I don't want it.
Why not?
You slobbered all over it.
No, I haven't.
You've had it in your mouth.
Gately, take the damn cigarette. I hope you won't think that I'm being too personal, but... What's your name?
Woodruff Gately.
Woodruff?
Woodruff.
I've never known a girl named Woodruff.
You've never known a girl like me.
If I seem a little nervous, it's because I don't usually come to this kind of a place. Can I tell you something very personal?
Okay, but don't get smutty.
I just wanted to tell you that I didn't get a chance to meet beautiful women.
Well, I don't get a chance to meet men. You see, actually, I'm a lesbian.
That's it. That's it. Forget it, Gately.
I'm sorry.
Not just forget it, man. I'm trying to teach you something to give you the benefit of my experience, my life. You know what you are? You are an ingrate. What's a maker a lesbian for?
I don't know.
Nobody can pick up a lesbian.
A lesbian could.
Well, who cares? That doesn't mean no good.
No.
You see my point?
You could become a transvestite.
What?
Wear women's clothes.
Look, I do not want to wear women's clothes.
I know you don't.
I know I don't, too.
You want to wear a kilt.
That's right.
Which is nearly women's clothes.
You know something, Gately? At the rate you're going, you may never even score with a broad.
Gately, you've got to help me.
I'm busy.
Gately, this is a matter of life and death.
I'm busy.
Would you look at me?
Natwick. You've got a cup in your pocket.
Yes.
Well, why do you have a cup in your pocket?
Actually, I've got a cup glued to my hand in my pocket.
Well, why would you glue a cup to your hand?
You idiot, I didn't do it. Silvio did it. He handed me a cup of coffee and suddenly I was glued.
Let's see. Wow. He must have used that super epoxy glue. You know it dries in 5 seconds.
Yes, I know.
I always wondered if this stuff worked.
Well, yes, it works.
You better take that over to the shop.
I'm going to find an orderly.
Well, why? You'll get Silvio in trouble.
I want to get Silvio in trouble.
Well, you've got to understand. Silvio's wounds has left him emotionally scarred.
You want emotional scars? I have a urine bag strapped to my side. You think that's fun, going through life as a portable toilet?
Well, Silvio's wound is different.
I don't want to hear about Silvio's wound.
That would...
I don't want to hear about Silvio's wound. I'm going to find an orderly.
You do, and Silvio will kill you.
Well, what kind of a wound was it?
Shrapnel.
Well, shrapnel. That's not so bad.
It blew off his well, you know.
Wow. That explains a lot. Sure. He flashes the nurses to assert his lack of manhood.
Sure, that explains the flashing.
It explains his macho act.
Sure, it explains the macho act.
It explains everything.
It even explains the cup.
No, it doesn't explain the cup.
No, I guess he just hates your guts.
Well, that explains the cup.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Things can't go on like this. First they hang a urine bag on me, now a cup. It's like I'm a Christmas tree.
Well, why don't you make friends with Silvio?
How disgusting. What do I have to do?
First of all, loosen up. You make people nervous.
Why?
You're uptight.
I am not uptight.
Well, you stand like you got a rod.
I'm from Great Neck.
Here, look. Snap your fingers, see? Act like you're cool. You look like someone put a quarter in you.
This is ridiculous.
Look, say this. Say, hey, man, what's happening?
Hey, man, what's happening?
Okay, we'll come back to that. I know. You've got to take an interest in Silvio's hobbies.
Like what? Child molesting?
No. Mainly flashing nurses, kilts, men's underwear.
Men's underwear?
Yeah, that and...
Gately!
Here he comes.
Men's underwear. I think I'm going to be sick.
Hey, Gately!
Hey, Silvio, what's happening, man?
Hey, Silvio, what's happening, man?
Gately, I got to talk to you.
Sure, Silvio, but Natwick just said hello to you.
Hey, Silvio, what's happening, man?
Gately, it's Nurse O'Brien. She's been transferred.
Dude.
All week I've been planning on flashing her. I got her on the list for Tuesday.
Hey. So?
Today is Tuesday.
Oh, man, what a bummer.
What's the matter with him?
Hey, Silvio, what it is, baby?
What's he talking like a spade for?
Oh.
Hey, Natwick.
Hey.
Calm down.
Hey.
You're not black.
I mean, what is this jive about O'Brien leaving?
What seems to be your problem, Natwick?
Hey, no problem, baby.
Don't call me baby.
I think it's just great the way you flash nurses him. Hey, you got it down to an art form.
Exposing yourself is not an art form. It's disgusting.
Hey.
You ever flashed anyone, Natwick?
No.
So what do you know about it?
Nothing.
That's right.
You want to know what kind of underwear I'm wearing?
Do I what?
Very tight jockey shorts.
Hey, you going queer or something, Natwick? Jesus. First O'Brien gets transferred, now Natwick goes queer. Jesus.
Silvio.
Keep your hands to yourself, Natwick.
I just want to be your friend.
Hey, you remember the cup?
No.
I'll glue you, Natwick.
No.
I swear to God, I'll glue you.
Don't glue me, please.
Gately. Hey, Gately, how can you work for a week on one radio?
You gotta keep the incoming parts ahead of the outgoing parts.
What?
Silvio, radio parts are disappearing.
When?
All the time.
You think someone's stealing them?
Possibly.
You could be losing them.
Possibly. Anyway, I have to replace the missing parts.
Where do you get these missing parts?
You can't just get parts. You have to steal the entire radio.
From where?
Administration.
Gately, how many radios have you stolen?
To date, 27.
I see.
But I'm not discouraged. Now, the main thing is to keep your incoming parts ahead of your outgoing parts. America was built on this theory, Silvio, the free enterprise system. And if one guy like me can make a radio work, well, then America works.
That's an interesting theory.
It's simple, really. It's just a question of incoming parts and outgoing parts.
Gately, I wish you luck.
Silvio, thank you.
Hello, Natwick.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
Do what? Where's Gately?
Well, he's obviously not here.
So it's just the two of us.
Yes.
Oh, good. Then the two of us can have a little chat.
Well, I really don't have the time.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Well, it's been lovely getting to know you this spring, Natwick.
Yes, I haven't known fun like this since the Tet Offensive.
Now, you wasn't no grunt. You was a clerk.
That's correct.
Oh.
Silvio? Are you stoned? Are you stoned? That's good, because when you're stoned, you mellow out, right? Mellow.
You know who people tell me I look like.
Who?
Jack Palance.
There is a certain resemblance.
Thing is, I had this dream the other night about Jack Palance. I dreamed Jack Palance was the leader of a Girl Scout troop, you know? And he was dressed just like a Girl Scout. And you and me and Gailey were members of this Girl Scout troop. And even though I knew we were boys, they had us dressed up like girls, right? And we were all at attention, you know, and Jack Palance is walking up and down in front of us just like this sergeant I had in boot camp, you know, and he kept saying that if we disgraced the Girl Scouts of America, not only wouldn't we get any merit badges, but he was gonna do something horrible to us. So you and me and Gately decided to sneak up on Jack Palance.
Hmm.
And we did. And it was dark, Natwick. Very, very dark. And then we opened the door. And there in this room was Jack Palance in this huge green Girl Scout uniform. And all around him was dead Girl Scouts. He had bitten off their heads and drained their blood. Well, what do you think of this dream?
Fascinating.
Oh, yes, but what do you think of it in a Freudian sense?
Oh, in a Freudian sense, I think it's very common.
Common?
Oh, yes, I think everyone's had that dream. I know I have.
You're from Long Island, huh?
That's right.
Great neck.
That's right.
But you had the shirts with the little alligators on them, huh?
Uh-huh.
But you even had a summer home in the Hamptons.
Montauk, actually.
Oh, Montauk, actually, huh? You know, I kind of picture your home overlooking the ocean, you know, with the water coming in and out and in and out and in and out.
Well, that's the way it is when everything's working right.
You pussy.
What?
I bet your mother played mahjong by the sea.
What does my mother have
and
to do?
And you went to private schools with your all the alligator shit.
Silvio, put the knife away. Please.
Alligator shirts.
God, I can't go on. I'll never fix this damn radio.
What seems to be the trouble here, Trooper?
I try and I try and nothing ever gets done.
Calm down. Take two deep breaths. Now then, tell me what your problem is here.
It's a damn radio. I'll never get it fixed. Parts keep disappearing. Silvio, there's something wrong with me here in my head. I think I'm...
That's it? You're just having a bad day.
I am?
Sure. Hey, did I ever tell you the story of the first day when I realized that something was wrong with me? I mean, that I needed help? I wake up in Cleveland one morning, right? I'm living with my sister at the time. It was a beautiful day. And I remember looking out the window and thinking, Ohio was a party dip. Not long after that, I attacked my fellow workers with a tire iron.
Did you do that?
Sure, I did that.
Yeah, but you're psychotic.
Exactly my point. And see, I couldn't even repair a radio.
Well, it's not easy.
Hell no, it's not.
Radios are complicated things.
Of course they are.
They're a product of human evolution.
Gately, if there is one thing that's clear to us at this point in time, it is that man is making progress. Now, are you gonna let yourself be defeated by an inanimate object? You are not. You are going to fix that radio. Are you ready to resume?
I am.
As you do, remember, the flesh of man can be torn, beaten, destroyed, but the human spirit abideth forever and shall not perish.
Who said that?
Casey Stengel.
Hello, Natwick.
Don't talk to me, Gately. I'm terribly depressed.
That's good.
What?
Hey, did you hear the news about Silvio?
Hmm?
Silvio's leaving soon.
What?
He's going to live in Cleveland with his sister.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Oh. How's the radio coming?
Won't be long now. Oh. You know the only thing Silvio says he's gonna miss?
Us?
Nurse Krulik.
Not Neanderthal Krulik.
Yeah, he thinks he loves her.
But she's the ugliest woman in the world.
That's why he loves her.
What?
He says ugly women need love more. So he's going over to tell her goodbye and to tell her that he loves her.
But Krulik.
She's really ugly, isn't she?
She's uglier than the guy in Ben-Hur that got dragged behind the chariot.
Is it possible that Silvio really loves Krulik?
It's possible.
And that she loves him?
Well, people can fall in love. But it's really a question of being faithful.
People can be faithful to one another. It's hard. They can do it. Coyote does it.
What?
The coyote mates for life. He's entirely faithful. He doesn't fool around. Yeah. And he's got plenty of chances, too. I mean, out there in the middle of the desert, he gets lonely.
How do you know?
He howls.
Huh. Dolphins, too. They mate for life.
Good for them.
It just goes to show you, Gately.
What?
Love is a many-splendored thing.
Why? That's beautiful.
Huh.
Love is a many-splendored thing. Did you make that up, Matt Wick?
Yes, I did, Gately.
I'm impressed.
I can't believe it.
Hey there, Silvio.
I can't believe it. I'm standing there waiting for Krulik over by the cafeteria.
Yeah?
I see her coming.
Yeah?
I'm about to say something to her when suddenly out of nowhere comes Gleason. Now, what do you think he's got the nerve to do?
What?
He flashes Krulik.
Gleason flashes Krulik?
Can you believe that? Right in front of my very eyes, he flashes my Krulik?
What? Whoa. You give him a shot?
I was going to, but he turned around and hauled out.
Gleason got away from you?
Hey, Gleason can move that wheelchair when he wants to.
Did you tell Krulik you loved her?
Not Wick. Have a little sensitivity, would you? The woman had just been flashed. Romance was the last thing she had on her mind.
I hear you're leaving soon.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, well, you know, my schedule got pushed up.
Guess you'll be glad to get back?
Yeah, right. You know, see the old neighborhood, check it out.
Well, we'll have a going-away party.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Look, I gotta go and pack and everything, so I'll see you guys later, huh?
Bye.
Bye, Silvio.
I mean, am I right or am I right?
You're right.
Damn right I'm right. What are we talking about?
Cleveland?
Oh, yeah. I just don't want it to be like the last time.
You know, last time you attacked your fellow workers with a tire iron.
I know. Say, where's Natwick?
Natwick's been in his room all day.
How come?
I think he's depressed because you're leaving. You know Natwick.
Yeah.
You worried about going to Cleveland tomorrow?
Nah. Give me a glass. Well, a little.
What are you worried about?
I'm worried about the damn Protestant.
What?
My sister married a Protestant. I mean, how do you talk to a Protestant?
I'm a Protestant.
Yeah, but you're different.
Oh, a party, of course. I might have known. No one invites me anywhere.
Matt Wick, you know perfectly well I invited you.
I couldn't hear you. My door was locked.
What were you doing in there, Matt Wick? Holding your breath?
Oh, that's right. Insult me. I just came to give you this letter.
It's from my sister. Hey, wait a minute. I'm too drunk to read this right now. I'm going to read this later.
Well, don't anybody offer me a drink.
Okay, we won't.
Who needs your party?
All right, come on. Sit down here, Natwick. I got a surprise for you guys.
I've got martinis in my room. I have many martinis
sit
in
over.
My room.
Sit over here, Natwick.
I think he's drunk.
I am not drunk.
Tell the truth, Natwick. Are you drunk?
Go screw yourself.
Natwick is very drunk.
I'm not. Give me a drink.
Okay, now wait. We don't have enough glasses.
That's all right. I brought my own.
My cup. Here, put these on.
Oh, boy. Party hat.
Do we have to do
this?
Yes,
come here. On. I'll give you a hand.
Oh, it's all his fault. I can't even put a party hat on.
There, there. I suppose you're wondering why we gather here this evening.
Yeah, to wear these stupid little hats, right?
No, we're gathered here to say farewell and good fortune to our friend Silvio. And to celebrate the completion of the radio.
What? Huh? Have you tried it?
Not yet.
How do you know it's going to work?
I decided it will.
Caitlin, you know, radios are very complicated things. I mean, remember we talked about this?
I know, but I've worked long enough on this. I can't work on this thing the rest of my life. So today, I screwed up the back and said to hell with it. It's now or never.
It's never.
What?
There's no way that radio can work.
Why not?
Because I've been stealing the parts.
I knew it. I knew something was happening. Do you know how many radios I've had to steal to replace those parts?
I took some, too.
You what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what this means? Do you have any idea?
That means the radio won't work.
It's true. People are always stealing from me.
Aww.
It's horrible. I leave my room in the morning, and when I return in the evening, it's been stripped bare. Last week, someone stole my dirty clothes. Stole my dirty underwear.
Hmm.
All my life, people stole from me. Bicycles, baseball cards, my shoes. Well, I'm through being stole from. That's it. No more stealing from old Gately. Now, that's it. No more stealing. From now on, I'm giving it away. Here, take it. Take
Gately.
My shoes.
Gately.
Take my hat. Oh. Take my shirt. Take it all, you damn vultures.
Can we have your socks?
Take the damn things. And take the damn radio. I'll smash
hey.
It into a million
Gately.
Pieces.
Gately, the...
You fixed the radio.
You know what this means, don't you?
Yeah.
So, when you thinking of getting out of here?
When they let me out?
You can get out any time you want.
I know.
Hey, Gately, where are you from?
Georgia.
I know that. I mean, but where? I mean, you know, what did you do there?
Yeah, I started out on a red dirt farm near Macon with my old man.
Hmm.
He was a funny guy. Big old hands. Couldn't seem to make nothing work.
Mm.
He screwed up everything he touched. He screwed up the farm. Screwed up running a fruit stand. Screwed up working for the state. Finally, we moved to Birmingham. Said that's where people like him move when they screwed up everything. Went to work in textiles. One day... come home from high school. There he was, in the middle of the afternoon, leaned up against the house. Them big old hands. And that's when I joined the army. I just couldn't stand to see him screw up no more.
Say, when you were a kid, did you ever do the Tarzan yell?
Sure. Everybody did the Tarzan yell.
I never did.
Why?
I had asthma.
Stand up here, Gately. I'm going to show you how to do the Tarzan yell.
Hell, I bet I can do it better than you.
You kidding me?
I ain't kidding you.
I used to win prizes doing the yell.
Big deal.
I did the Tarzan yell at a bar mitzvah once.
Must have been reformed.
Okay, now who goes first?
I go first. Give you something to shoot for. Stand back.
I'm not impressed. Listen to this. Oh.
did the Tarzan yell. I did the Tarzan yell!
This calls for a drink. I don't believe this. My God. I did the Tarzan. A toast to Tarzan.
To Tarzan!
To Cheetah!
To Cheetah!
Cheetah! You know, sometimes I wish we were in a jungle somewhere.
You know, all over Africa, apes and other wild things that climb are falling out of trees at an unprecedented rate.
Why?
Civilization. There's no place anymore for wild and wounded animals. There's just all sorts of ancient things that ancient things.
Ancient things are what now?
That disappear. They get obsolete, like the dodo bird. And elephants.
And Indians.
An Indian.
And salmon.
And grizzle.
Grills. Did you know that the universe is collapsing? That's right. The universe is collapsing. The energy in stars eventually collapse in on themselves. Eventually, the entire universe will collapse in on itself.
Where will it all go?
Nowhere.
Well, what'll be left?
Nothing.
No. Come on, there's got to be some left.
Nope.
Couple little planets?
Not even a little car table and a little radio.
Well, at least there'll be a lot of open space for development.
Nope. When stars collapse, they create a vacuum and suck space into it.
There won't even be any space?
Natwick, no wonder you don't get invited to parties.
What?
You are the most depressive SOB that ever lived, Natwick. How long is it going to take for everything to start collapsing in on itself?
Oh, trillions and trillions of years.
Natwick, then there's nothing to worry about.
There's not? Okay.
I'm going to be in Cleveland tomorrow. Wait a minute. My letter. I got to read this letter. My darling brother.
Silvio, look, the dawn's coming up. By the shores of Gitche Gumee, by the shining big sea waters, at the doorway of his wigwam, in the pleasant summer morning, Hiawatha stood and waited. All the air was full of freshness. All the earth was bright and joyous. Natwick, you awake? Look at the dawn, Natwick. When was the last time you were up this early?
Last week.
Yeah?
I had diarrhea.
My sister don't want me. She's gonna have the Protestants, kid.
Sorry, Silvio. See how the world looks this early? It's all dewy. It's like Eden, Silvio. Listen, it's like Eden.
Yeah.
Don't be miserable, Silvio.
What do you want from me? I'm a damn psychotic with his pecker blown off.
Things could be worse.
How? How could things possibly be worse?
It could rain.
Let me tell you guys something. This is a big news flash. Whether it rains or not really don't make that much of a difference, because it wouldn't change anything.
It would ruin a perfectly nice day. Look at it, Silvio. This day is special. It's like no other day that's ever been. It's like no other day that ever will be. This day will never come again.
Promise?
Thank you.
Private Wars by James McClure. Stephen Keats played Silvio, Brent Spiner was Gately, and Reed Birney was heard as Natwick. The play was directed by Daniel Freudenberger and engineered by Tom Gretto. Private Wars was recorded in New York by Earplay.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.